single-seat wheeler, racing it across a mud flat with a dozen or so other wheelers trying to sneak past me on either side. I'd entered this one with the experiential set to interactive, so I was able to steer the wheeler and throttle its turbine up and down. I played it for a few minutes, keeping ahead of the pack, until I badly misjudged the angle of a sandbank and lost control. Another car slammed into mine, and there was an instant of painless carnage before I was back at the starting line again, gunning my engine. Difficult to tell how this one would sell. They might lap it up as a unique Sky's Edge product, or they might find the whole thing irredeemably quaint. I continued through the remaining four experientials, but the results were just as disappointing. Two of them were fictionalized episodes from my planet's past, one a melodrama about Sky Houseman's life aboard the Santiago, really the last thing I needed, while the other was a love story set during the time of Sky's imprisonment, trial, and execution, but in which Sky was only a very minor background character. The other two experientials were adventures, both of which involved snake hunting, though whoever had scripted them had only a passing knowledge of Hamadryad biology. I'd expected more, some kind of specific message from my past, although I remembered a great deal more now than I'd done upon first waking in Idlewild. There were still aspects of my past that were unclear, things that refused to snap into focus. I could have lived with these absences if I'd been stalking Ryvich in familiar territory, but even my knowledge of the city ahead of me was inaccurate. I turned to the cache of experientials I had taken from Vadim. They were all blank except for a tiny silver motif near the top of each. I wasn't going to learn anything about myself, but I'd at least learn a little more about what passed for entertainment in Chasm City. I slipped one of them in. It was a mistake. I was expecting pornography or mindless violence, something from the extremes of human experience, but still recognizable as such. What I got was so strange that at first it was difficult to articulate what I was experiencing, and I began to wonder if there was some compatibility problem between the experientials and the helmet, so that the wrong parts of my brain were being stimulated, but they'd all come from the same source, Vadim's room. This was how it was meant to be. It was dark, dank, squalid, and there was a feeling of terrible, crushing claustrophobia, an emotion so intense that it was like my skull was slowly squeezing my brain. My body was all wrong, elongated and limbless, pale and soft and infinitely vulnerable. I couldn't guess how that sensation was engendered unless the device was stimulating some ancient part of the brain which remembered what it was like to ooze or swim rather than walk. And yet I was not actually alone, and nor was the darkness as absolute as it had originally seemed. My body occupied a warm, humid hollow inside a space which had been cored out with labyrinthine black tunnels and chambers. And there were others with me, other pale, elongated presences. I couldn't see them. They must have been in adjacent chambers. But I could taste their proximity, ingest the soup-like chemical flow of their emotions and thoughts. And in some sense, they were me as well, detached avatars of myself. They moved and quivered at my bidding, and I sensed what they sensed. The claustrophobia was total and crushing, but it was also reassuring. Beyond the hard rock-like volume in which we were caged was an absolute void from which my thoughts flinched. That emptiness was worse than the claustrophobia, and what made it worse still was the fact that it was not truly empty, that the void had terrible, silent, infinitely patient enemies who were coming closer. I felt a convulsion of fear so